Money Radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
And as you step out into the cold, cruel world of adulthood, please remember that the stock market will go down at times, and that nothing is more important than listening to Talking Real Money every Saturday on Northwest News Radio or your favorite podcast service.
Yeah, that's my commencement speech.
I feel so much better. May I commence now?
You may commence. Me, all you, right. May.
Matriculate.
You are, yes, you just, I hate that word. I don't know what it is about it. It sounds like chewing with your mouth open. Hi, as you chew with your mouth open today in I can't even say it. Masticate.
Listen,
matriculate.
Dude,
there you go.
You survived one of the great mass spreader events of 2022. You're still looking okay. So, okay. Made it so far. I haven't heard much feedback.
I'm not quite dead. I feel much better.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
Although I did die yesterday.
You did.
I did a death scene yesterday. It was so great. It was really great.
Insert bad Baldwin Brothers joke here. No? Okay.
Look here, you rotten tomato. You got one chance to get out of here. That's one of my lines. Look here, you rotten tomato.
And then, can you record that? I could use that in the office on Monday.
Yeah. Look here, you rotten tomatoes. You have one chance to get out of here.
Yeah,
it was great, though. It was kind of cool because, you know, I'm laying there on the floor with a simulated hole in my shirt and bullet wound in my chest, you know, with up against the wall. And I'm laying there, and there's like this crew of 10 people with little lights to get the shadows just right. And they got the camera like 16 inches from my face. It was really, making a movie is kind of cool.
Listen, you could go to the emergency room and have the same thing. Like, of course, you pay for that. There's a difference, so I guess, but still.
I thought about driving home that way, maybe like stopping in a McDonald's or something, going,
hey, you know,
I'm not feeling really well today. You know,
sir, that's a sucking chest wound there. You might want to fix that. That's not good.
I made a movie over the past couple of days, which is why we had a best of, and we had two Tom Ofs.
Which turned out okay.
Podcast. Well, the one you did with the Bogle Book guy, dang.
Eric Balchunas,
you got
great author.
I think you hit the new, that podcast hit the download record.
Ding, 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 ding.
On that
ding,
date, it was really good. Anyway. Hi, everybody. I'm Don McDonald, along with the proverbial Thomas C. Cock.
Yeah.
Myth, legend.
And we're still standing after all that has happened.
I know. Including to the stock market, which we're going to get to in a second.
I know.
After I do this. Are you ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Excuse me. I must clear my throat for this. Please call us at 855-935-TALK. 855-935-8255.
May I matriculate
Real
now?
Money talk.
Oh.
You go ahead and masticate all you want.
Commence.
Chewing.
Masticate.
Chewing.
Yeah.
Chewing. That's what that word means. Anyway.
The good news is.
Yeah. What? There is good news?
The hammering that they keep using that word hammer, which I don't like. Because I've taken a good hammering, and I don't think this is a great hammering. But anyway, I guess it is if you owned the five big giant tech stocks and you've been hammered all the way down. I believe we did tell you some months ago not to just put all
your
money in
the come on. We're not going to do the thing.
Okay. All right. Okay.
We're bigger than that.
I know. I mean, the good news is this hasn't the story of the stock market, the great stock market decline near bear market of 2022 hasn't really made the front page yet.
No.
But it's probably going to if we get to the 20% down from the high of January 3rd, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So what about that? I mean, the numbers
are
not horrible. The S&P 500 is actually down 17.7. But if you're in a globally diversified portfolio, you're only down 11.8. And if you have 40% of your money in bonds, you're only down 8.4%. This is not the end of the world. Not even close. Yeah, well, because you're diversified and you own other things, not just the part that's really gotten hammered. Well, it is Saturday. I guess a good hammering makes sense. But still, come on.
Well, it's really interesting. When you look back, And oh, here's one we will tell you we told you so about.
Oh, okay, good.
We did tell you so about ARC Innovation Fund. That one, I'm sorry. If you got into that, there's
got into it after it went straight up, of course.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. Back before the decline in 2020 when the market went down for a month, ARC was $10,000. Well, ARC was at about $23,000 based on a $10,000 investment since inception. It is now down below or just above $17,000. You lost like $5,000.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Is your portfolio a mess? You may have a case of hodgepodgeitis, but don't worry, we can help. Just set up a free, no-obligation meeting with a Vestory advisor at Vestory.com. No sales pitch, guaranteed. That's Vestory.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Once again, give us a call, 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. Here's another really quick fact about ARC. I just love using this as an example of what not to do. From its high in February of 2021, it just soared.
So a year and a couple of months ago.
It is down 70% from that high. Now. So you're thinking, okay, I'm down 70%, but when this soars again, I'm going to make it all back.
She says it will. She
think
says
about
she's
it for a minute,
50%
though.
50% a year, so 50.
For you to get back to where you would have been in February of 2021, your investment has to almost quadruple in value. Quadruple. How often have you seen any investment quadruple in a short period of time?
Not short period of time.
It could be years for a quadruple. Yeah. I mean, literally.
I think it could be.
Right now, we are, I can't remember the exact number, but I think we are about at a quadruple from 2008 on the S&P 500. I think it's about a quadruple.
Go back to 1990, $1,000 in the S&P 500 was up to $20,000.
So that's since 1990.
1990,
32
years.
So, you know, a quadruple could take, for most,
a long time.
It could take a decade to recover from that kind of a loss. More than a decade. And this is why we preach diversification.
And not speculation, which clearly Ms. Woods is exercising here. So, I mean, when I read the 3,000 word piece in the Wall Street Journal today where they find these people all over the country that they interview about why I'm scared to death and why I shorted this and why I'm doing that, etc. It makes me nervous because people believe that investing, they have a real estate broker from Indiana that thinks investing is sort of knowing what's coming next and doing something. He read Ray Dalio's book about the end of the superpowers and this is how you invest. And
read.
I don't know how people are investing. Yeah, I don't know how people are investing in Rome 2,000 years ago. But again, okay, what do you do today? You're scared, right?
Yeah. People are scared. Yes, I will grant you that.
I get that. Yeah. I get that. Yeah. First of all, the first thing for me is anyone, because it's so out there. There's so much of it. Anyone who tells you what's coming next, immediately ignore them.
Yep.
Because everyone is out of the woods. Oh, well, here's what's going to happen.
Yes, but
no
Tom,
one knows.
But Tom. It's so funny to talk to people about this, and even people I care about who shall remain nameless.
Please do.
When they tell me things like, I knew it was going down in 2008, and I knew it was going down. I should have gone with my gut and gotten out because I knew this market was going to go down. Really?
Couldn't go up anymore.
Really?
I read a recent quote from Savina Rizova, head of research at Dimensional Funds, and she says, where's the market going tomorrow? We have no idea.
Yeah,
but
that was
she did point out.
That was a terrific article from the New York Times by Jeff Sommer, who's turning out to be a really good market writer. I really like his stuff.
Dimensional looked. So let's just say you do want to sell, and people are selling. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's people going to cash. If you do, again, I mentioned the 1,000 from January 1st, 1990 through December 2020 in the S&P 500 was 20,450. Just think if you missed five of the best days in that period of time. Remember, you were 20,000. Mm-hmm. If you decided at some point, I can't take this, I'm out. Instead of having 20,000, you have 12,917. if you miss the best 15 days. $7,000 instead of $20,000. If you miss the best 25, $4,376. So you get the idea here, which brings me to point number two. Whatever's going on today, and nobody knows why, and nobody's going to be able to, they're going to tell you they know, but they don't. Over the long haul, stocks have still created more wealth for people that have invested in them than really any other asset.
And you, what a fascinating fact. I love, and you get people arguing that other point. Well, if you miss the worst days, yeah. You couldn't pick the worst. You can't pick any of them. But what's so interesting about the best days, that missing the best days, there is more to the story. There's the rest of the story, because what is most interesting to me is that of the 10 best days for the stock market from 2002 through 2022, almost all of those best days occurred in the midst of a dramatically declining market. When was the best day in the last 20 years?
I think the fall of 2008.
October 13th, 2008.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
The second best day was October 28th.
There you go.
2008. Yeah. The third, March 24th, 2020.
2 years ago.
Right in the middle of the decline. Well. The fourth was March 13th, 2020.
Yeah. The bottom line is, don't be a market timer, but here's the thing to be. Yes. And even our 14-year-old fan Maya could tell you this. No offense. You got to know your risk tolerance. If there's a woman in this article in the Wall Street Journal says she can't sleep, she's squirming, then maybe you shouldn't be investing in stocks. Maybe you should, or have somebody else manage the money, or figure out a way to pay attention to something else. Go to ESPN or some other channel and watch that, or pay it, because this will eat you alive if you check your balance every day. Don just checked his for the first time in a long time.
Oh, I so depressing. Mine regularly.
Oh, yeah, you barely can sit up with that. But, I mean, the thing is, no, you don't watch this every day. You don't listen to the pundits because, yeah, it will eat you alive. You got to have a plan. You got to know your risk tolerance. And then the rest of it, frankly, is noise.
There was another recent article from the New York Times where I think it was the same guy, Jeff Summers, who interviewed Richard Thaler.
Yeah.
The Economist,
yeah,
who was in The Big Short, and really, really, really smart guy. And he said he's always asked, what should we do the next time? And this was before the markets really got volatile. What should we do the next time the markets get volatile? And he said, my advice would be to turn off the financial news channel. He was on a financial news channel doing an interview.
Yeah, I don't think they liked that.
And he said, I would turn off this channel and switch to ESPN.
Yeah, I think that's good advice.
Don't watch. Don't peek. Don't look.
I think Warren Buffett, who's done pretty well, says the same thing. Look away. Find something else.
Well, and you
find focus.
Really nailed it. And this is the one, maybe the biggest problem that most individual investors have. And that is the fact that they have no idea what kind of an investor they are. The only, what they know about what kind of investor they are is, I'm an investor who wants to make as much money as possible with as little risk as I can take. That's what kind of investor I am. Well, that is called an unrealistic investor. Yes.
And I've been able to do that the last couple of years because the market's gone basically straight up after it went straight down in the spring of 2020.
It seemed like magic, didn't it?
It works.
But what were we doing in 2008? And we were giving seminars on how to survive a volatile market.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We also did it a couple of other times between 2009 and 2020. We had a few times when the market along the way, you forgot. I guarantee you forgot all the scary markets we had between 2010 and 2020. But they were there.
Yep.
And then they went away. Now, this one looks bad, but so did the one in 2020. Could it be like that? Or could it be like 2008? We don't know. But either way, we know if you were properly diversified, it didn't hurt as much.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Set your course for a great future with a free copy of our 60-page Better Retirement Guidebook at Vestory.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Hello again. Welcome back. I'm Don. That's Tom. We're talking about life. We're talking about living it better by dealing with the money that you have to deal with all the time better, and by investing it better, and by learning what investing is as opposed to what most people think is investing, and that is gambling. And we'd love to help you out. Give us a call at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. But a number of people also send their questions in at our website, talkingrealmoney.com. And one of the things we have offered to do for you, if you let us, you call us, we'll check out the firm with which you work, the investment firm. Now, to date, I would guess 90% of them, Tom.
It probably holds with the actual ratio.
Yeah, about 90% of those that have been sent in. The question is, am I working with a 100% fiduciary firm? That's about as far as we take it, because we can't really speak to the quality of their management, their advice,
the investment style,
because we just don't know enough about them to know those things. But we can come very close, not exact, but we can form an opinion as to whether they are likely always acting as a fiduciary or not. We also will mention their fees, because these are all available online at advisorinfo.sec.gov. That's advisor with an E, info, all one word, .sec.gov. So I went and checked this one out. Here's one that just came in.
So we got this guy wrote it, right?
He said, during a recent podcast, you talked about financial planners who claim to be fiduciaries who really aren't. I'm working with a large firm, and yeah, they are large.
Boy, big.
In Wisconsin, and your podcast got me thinking. Do you know anything about Annex Wealth Management? And at the time, we did not.
No, never heard of them, but they're a big size firm in the upper Midwest.
$4.5 billion under management. That is a big firm. And I sat down and read the bulk of their ADV Part 2. That is the form. It's a brochure that they provide to clients, and they also file with the Securities and Exchange Commission. And I went through it looking, and this is a bit of a lesson. The things you look for. You go through the ADV Part 2. You look for an affiliation with a brokerage firm. Do they also sell securities? That's important.
And you don't want, we want to make sure that you've hired one that does
if
not,
they
because
do,
then they're if, duly registered.
If they sell securities, they are not always acting as a fiduciary. The other thing we want to look for is, do they sell insurance and receive a commission for that?
And we'd prefer you not to work with them either, by the way.
So, after going through Annex Wealth Management's ADV Part 2, we need like a sound effect for this. I'm going to have to create a sound effect. They, ladies and gentlemen, are one of the, we believe to be, we are not recommending them. This is not a recommendation of any type at all, but we believe them to be 100% fiduciary advisors.
Wow.
Congratulations.
It almost never happens.
It doesn't happen very often.
It's very rare.
Now, they do happen to be in that area. And we, Tom and I, have had this conversation for decades. We even at one time worked with a firm that we thought charged too much and we wouldn't work with them anymore. They do have a relatively high maximum fee.
Was it 1.5%?
Yeah, it was 1.5%. Now, we believe that right around one on the first million, half a million, somewhere in that range is appropriate, and that it should drop
substantially.
Substantially.
Yeah, because I still see people even at 2 and 3 charging
1%.
0.7%. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. So the amount of work you have to do after the first million goes down quite a bit, so you should charge a lot less for that. So anyway, so they've annexed a pretty good deal, I guess, basically.
I knew there was a bad pun hiding in there somewhere. I just knew it. So
you thought me wore? Yeah, I wore them all out last week at Retire Meet, but no.
You pretty much did, too. You even did the Rasputin bad joke, didn't you?
I know. It's all out there for everybody to see. It's on.
Oh, that's right. We have a lightly edited version, just taking out some of the glitches and things. We have a lightly edited version of Retire Meet. If you miss the event and you have 5.5 hours to kill,
nothing else to do.
Go to the Talking Real Money YouTube channel. And you can watch it all, or if you intended it before and you just want to relive it, go watch it again. You know that'll be fun. 855-935-TALK.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
A second opinion could save your life either physically or fiscally. Let one of our Vestry advisors help you save your future at Vestry.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
We're talking real money.
Totally random fact. You want to really feel old?
Not really.
Do you know what year the movie Monty Python and the Holy Grail came out?
Yeah, I do, actually.
What year was that?
I'm going to say 1974.
Five. You were very, very close.
I was going to say 75.
And remember the the gorgeous young, and it's every young man who watched this movie in the 70s will be able to relate. The young woman who played Zoot, remember
Of course.
Yeah. Carol Cleveland. Yeah.
I'm not going to say what she said, but okay.
Yeah, I'm not.
Yes,
but you know how old Carol Cleveland is?
Let's see. So I'll say 80. 70.
80 okay. years old.
Yeah, well, world does move on.
Yeah, and the reason for me mentioning that, what?
Yeah.
What? Is because
I was just going to say that movie remains one of my favorite all time.
Me too. Cost a whopping $400,000 to make.
And most of that was the rental of the castle, which they only had for like a week or some ridiculous thing.
$400,000. For a multi-million dollar grossing movie. And
still making money.
Yeah. The reason I mention that is because 855-935-TALK is our number. And joining us now on the line is Tim the Enchanter.
Tim
the Enchanter. Hello, Tim. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
I am not the Enchanter, but you guys just made me feel really old.
We made ourselves feel old, too. So, welcome to the club.
You're not alone. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm right with you there. So, here's the deal. I'm going to reiterate something you guys have been saying today. I'm 64. And with all the turmoil in the equities and stuff, I'm just going to look away and continue to make my contributions and reinvest my dividends and sleep well at night.
Look away. Don't so you're look. Still you're look st- away.
Are you still working?
I am, but not through the whole year. I'll be retiring before I'm 65.
How soon do you need to start drawing on the money that you have saved?
Not for a long time. I also have a handsome pension. So
a good looking pension. Good.
But
for
my
you.
Question.
So he said handsome.
I've got a lovely. Look at that lovely pension.
What are you doing?
Just radiating
your eyes. Yeah. Go ahead. This is really
everything you say. You know, if you really think about it hard enough, there'll be a line for Monty Python to fit, won't there?
Yeah,
anyway,
go ahead, Tim. Well, sorry,
yeah, go ahead, Tim.
You mentioned it, yes. But so here's
so
my
yes,
question.
Look away, thinking, look away. Go ahead,
avert your eyes. Yes.
Well, I'm in a good position. My wife and I are in a good position. But what about people who are, you know, maybe have the same situation, but they're not in a good situation? In other words, there's not that much money for them to take. I mean, how are they supposed to deal with the volatility right now? I mean, the stock market's not quite on sale. Equities are not quite on sale, but they could be in the next few months.
You're missing the point. I think, Tim, everybody, this is the point that people keep missing. We don't care about the stock market. We're not saying it's on sale or it's overpriced. We don't know, and it's not important. Those who cannot afford, who must have the money available for them, their future, their immediate future, they shouldn't have ever been invested in the stock market.
That's number one. Number two, okay. If you're drawing on the money right now, if they're also in their mid-60s, they're no longer working, they're not buying stocks, and in fact, they need to start pulling money from their portfolio, they should have a healthy amount in fixed income, which has had a tough beginning to the year, but the signs are starting to turn that it's going to recover for the balance. They should have a lot in there that is sort of the ballast they could draw from that while the market's doing whatever it's doing. That's what holds true for most people. So, yeah, if you have a plan, if your portfolio matches that, then you really aren't too concerned about really what's going on in the short term, because there's always things going on in the short term.
And that's what we keep coming back to over and over and over again. We have to, all of us, step away from this thought that the stock market is this immediate thing to which we need to react either positively or negatively. No, the stock market is merely a tool that becomes part of our entire portfolio that gets us to where we want to be.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Tom and I created Vestry to help everyone become a better investor, even those who will never be clients. Let one of our advisors help you start your financial plan or solve a money problem free with no obligation or high-pressure sales pitch at Vestry.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
And welcome back to our little get-together that we call a show. While it's on the radio, and then we call it a podcast when it's a podcast. 855-935-TALK is our telephone number, 855-935-8255. We also, in addition to taking your questions over the phone, we do take them when you send them in to us at talkingrealmoney.com. And here's one that came in.
Yeah.
And I'm just doing this one for fun. I'm just doing this one kind of to make a point. We get a lot of these, and, you know, I feel guilty because I don't answer them, so I'm kind of going to answer it on the radio.
Okay.
Okay? Because I get these all the time, and I just don't answer them because, well, I figure my time is precious and theirs isn't. In this case, you'll see why I'm saying that.
Is this going to be another one of those 500-word things?
No, this is short. All right. Okay. This is short. Okay. I am inquiring on behalf of No Yak Logistics Income REIT, a supply chain's real estate investment trust. Noyak CEO CJ Follini has spent 35 years bringing innovation to the alternative investment space. It's a $200 million real estate investment trust investing in supply chain infrastructure, the first ever REIT to accept crypto.
Lovely.
He is interested in making an appearance on your podcast. Can you provide me with any marketing material, attendee demographics, pricing, and other information you may have? So, Tom, they're willing to pay us to be on.
Yeah, all right. You know, my response to that is?
Go ahead.
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
What?
That's the Monty Python reference.
Bleed on me.
That's a mere flesh wound. I mean, that's ridiculous. Come on, really? $200 million REIT.
You know the expense ratio's just got
to
be.
And we don't, by the way, we don't take money from anybody to be on the program.
No, we do not.
And we rarely do interviews, and we only do those when it's something
we find fascinating.
I did the one with Swedro. I did the one with, we did the ones with Wigglesworth. We did the one with Eric Balchunas.
Now, the only reason we did Wigglesworth is because his name was fun to say. That's really the only reason we did it.
And he's a Liverpool fan, and we're crossing our fingers for him tomorrow. Big
a Liverpool.
So anyway, Liverpool. Yeah. So anyway, we don't know.
No.
And frankly, that's not the kind of thing we would recommend you invest in either.
How about a real question?
Yeah, please.
Okay. I tried Googling for an answer to my question, but it made it even more confusing. Here are the details. I'm retiring at the end of June at age 60. My income will stop. I will have a pension check of $3,355 a month. After taxes. Also, my wife will continue to work, making $60,000 a year. We're in the process of purchasing a home, cash $1.1 million. I know I'd be better off financing, but I don't want to have debt, and psychologically it works for me. Mm-hmm. I had to sell some ETFs out of my taxable account, resulting in a capital gain of $252,000. At the 15% tax rate, my tax bill will be $37,000.
Wait a minute. Right there. Now, he's doing 252. She's hit 60.
60. That's 310.
Might be more than the 15.
Exactly.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At the 15% tax rate, my tax bill will be $38,000 roughly.
Might want to send him more than that.
Yeah. Okay. What is the best way to handle this? I'm reading reading about the safe harbor rules to avoid a penalty, it states, I need to pay 100% of the taxes I paid last year to avoid a penalty. This would be hard to do since I'm retiring and will only have one half my income compared to last year. I'm also looking at increasing the taxes taken out of my wife's check. I'm confused.
No.
I need to make quarterly payments or just let it roll and deal with it. Nope.
You don't make one big payment for what you owe because that's a sizable increase and they will be very unhappy when they arrive and look at your next April.
They won't be really unhappy. You'll be unhappy because of the penalty and the interest.
Yeah.
They're not going to be unhappy. They're just going to send you a bill and say, oh, you underpaid, and now you owe us a big chunk of money. So the capital gains tax rates.
Let's see. So
I want to look up the latest. Let's see. So 252, 310. Actually, the breakpoint on couples, I think, is
What about the Obamacare?
459,750.
Ah, so he's still under that then.
Yeah, okay.
He's not going to have the added whatever.
No, I think he's okay, but he still has to, but he needs to pay that $38,000.
Yeah, and.
And I know it's painful. Tom and I sold we sold a business and we both those checks hurt.
I did a check once. I told you the story. It was in the middle of the pandemic and they didn't cash it for like 6 months. Now
excuse me.
I do it all electronically.
They didn't cash a check for six months.
Somebody's desk 6 months. Scared me. So now I just do the electronic, go in, send them everything you've got, hope it's okay. So
all right, here's another one for you. Similar
Congratulations.
Question.
Congratulations.
Similar question. Is there any benefit to contributing to a traditional IRA if your modified adjusted gross is above 78 filing single or 129 filing jointly? According to the IRS website, there's no deduction if your income is above that. In this case, why would you ever contribute to a traditional IRA? Would a Roth be the best choice? If you're over the Roth contribution limit, it seems like the Roth back door would be the best way.
Yes, to both. Yeah, yes, I mean, and by the way, back to the previous question, there was something else to mention there.
Cool.
Right now, well, if he's trying to generate the money, maybe he has some losses he could harvest from his portfolio due to the recent downturn. The previous question about maybe some positions that turned to red. Anyway.
That's actually a really, really good idea because what you can do is move that money, particularly if you're using ETFs or no-load funds, you move it into a similar but not identical fund or ETF for 30 days, 31 days. On that 31st day, you can move right back. And when you take a capital loss, it's a dollar-for-dollar offset against capital gain plus up to $3,000 that you can deduct against ordinary income and carry forward.
Tax loss harvesting. Okay, that would be there. Number two, around the why would anybody contribute? Well, I mean, you're taking money that you paid tax on it, then you're going to put it in something and later take out and pay tax. Now, I don't think that's a good strategy.
Yeah,
I agree. He just takes post-tax money, puts it in IRA, and doesn't get the deduction.
Mm-hmm.
But the Roth makes total sense. And I think the individual, what is it, like 140, if you make $140,000 or less, you can do a regular Roth IRA.
Right. And it's two.
And if you and your significant other make, like 200, let's say 200.
I think it's 208 for some reason. That's sticking in my head.
Yeah, that sounds right. And then you can do the same. So, and then if you're not eligible for that, you're correct. The back door money goes into an IRA. The next day it moves over to the Roth and then it grows tax free, which
but
still
remember,
around forever long
if you have, if you have other traditional IRAs, when you do a back door, you do have to make a prorated distribution or transfer from those other assets too. So
and pay tax
and
on
pay
it.
Tax on those. Yeah, yeah,
like it's
although,
regular income.
Although you know it may not be that bad. You just if you got a ton of money that's going into the back door, it still could be a decent deal overall.
It's something to be careful about in any of those circumstances. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, our phone number here is 855-935-TALK. Our website is talkingrealmoney.com. We have a YouTube channel.
I'm laughing only because, we recommend people take our risk quiz.
Yeah.
If you took the risk quiz 6 months ago and you know your score, take it again today.
Fascinated. That is actually a really – we should have mentioned that.
Because I guarantee you it'll be a lower.
Yeah.
It'll be guaranteed. Yeah.
Yeah, that might not be a bad idea. You took the risk quiz two or three years ago when the market was soaring. Take it again. Take it again and just see. Wow.
I'll be surprised if it's not lower. So,
well, remember, you can call us during the show every Saturday, which is noon to 2 Pacific time, 3 to 5 Eastern. Or you can call us 24-7 at 855-935-TALK.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Want a free copy of my book, Financial Physics? Well, go download it right now at Vestory.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
So if you want to take that risk quiz, by the way, go to TalkingRealMoney.com. If you want anything else, if you want to get a little help, we've got all kinds of help there, but we can also help you in other ways. We do have advisors who work with our firm, Vestry by Appella, and they are available to help you, and I absolutely mean this, free. I know, free? Nothing's free. Yeah, it's free. We're not going to manage your money for free because that would be a really foolish idea. We'd never make any money. We'd all go broke. But we will help you, and we've helped people over the years, hundreds if not thousands. And you can do it really easily by setting up an appointment with one of our advisors at Vestory.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com. Just go to the bottom of the page, set up an appointment when it's convenient for you. And we'll, because we can do it online and via phone, we'll set it up anywhere, anytime. That's Vestory.com.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary, investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future. So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Capital, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. That should keep the lawyers happy.